Second Chronicle, you got to listen to this voice now after that. Second Chronicles 7, verse 1 says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." And Father, we thank you that your glory has filled this place today. We thank you that your name is lifted up. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you're Lord. We thank you that you're Savior, you're Redeemer. You love us. You're gracious toward us. You're merciful. Lord, what else? There's so much to say about you. But most importantly, we want to express our love to you and thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, I'm thankful there's going to be more of that a little bit later. So, but right now, we have to get into the Word of God. We get to get into the Word of God. So if you would open up your Bibles once again to the book of Acts chapter 24. And today we're going to be focusing in on three verses, verses 24 through 27. And the title of today's message is, "Don't Put Off Your Most Important Decision." I want to revisit and spend some time today on this passage that we went through fairly quickly last week. And the reason that I believe this is important is there are so many people that put off to tomorrow what ought to be done today. Remember the scene. It's Caesarea. Paul, having left Rome because of a threat on his life, he's been lied to, he's been falsely accused, and now he goes on trial before Governor Felix, who is trying to figure out what to do with this man. What do I do with this man named Paul? And Paul's facing this man of authority. He's the governor. He's a man of nobility, but not of his own, because he married three women of royal birth, and the one he's presently married to, a woman named Drusilla, is his third wife, and she's the daughter of Herod Agrippa. So she's very well credentialed. I want to take a close look and listen to what Paul spoke as he had an opportunity to share with Felix. I want to read verses 24 through 27. And it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener." The oftener means more often. In other words, he wanted to hear from him, and he communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, he left Paul bound." I want to take some time and pay particular attention to what we see in verse 25. I know we talked about this last week, but I really want to get into this. When after Paul spoke, he's preaching a message to Governor Felix, and Felix responded, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." What's Felix doing? He's putting off for another time what ought to be done today. What's that called? Procrastination, yes. Felix is waiting for a better time. He's waiting for what he thinks is a more appropriate time. Maybe a less busy time. But nevertheless, Felix didn't want to be burdened with the gospel. And I'm wondering how many of us would admit that we do procrastinate. I'll be the first to raise my hand. And you know, there's some people that we know, maybe even in this room today or listening online later, not only admit to procrastination, but say, "I'll stop procrastinating tomorrow." For some, it becomes a habit. And for others, it's a very tragic habit, because procrastination, it steals time, doesn't it? And it takes away opportunity. And the saddest of all Procrastination can lead to hell. People refuse to come to Christ for various reasons. In reality, says, and I know because I've seen it, that there's some that will hear this message, listen to the invitation, and say no, and they'll be lost. I'd like to take some time to look at four types of people that say no, and for these reasons. First, there are those that just don't get it. They don't understand the gospel, and because they don't understand the gospel, they refuse to believe. Second, there's those that are just way too attached to their sin. And they make a choice for sin. They make a choice for sin over God. And unless that person repents, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. The Bible describes in Hebrews 11:25, the pleasures of sin is for a season. However, for some, that season is a lifelong season. There's another group, a third group, and that is the self-righteous. This is the person that's not attached to a sin but thinks he's too good to go to hell. There are many people that fall into this group. They think they're too good and that the gospel is for those that have committed far more serious crimes or offenses than they have. And that hell is reserved for them and not for me. Maybe they think they're good, decent people. And that because they think they're good, decent people, God will reward them for their self-perceived goodness. The majority of people, however, that refuse Christ don't fall into any of those groups that I just mentioned. It's not those that don't understand and therefore refuse to believe. It's not those that just love their sin too much. It's not the self-righteous that don't think they need to come to Christ. It's those that, like Felix, they put it off. They simply think, whether they admit it or not, I can't come to Jesus today. There's too much life yet to live. But one day I will. There will be a day sometime in the future that perhaps I will give my heart to Christ. And for some, that day never comes. Paul had been put in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now he's given this opportunity to come before Felix and for Felix to hear him. But what Felix heard is not what he expected to hear from Paul. There's a few things about Felix. First, we see here he was convicted of his sin. Paul preached to Felix, and Felix was convicted. And the way that Paul preached to him is the way preaching ought to be done. Verses 24 and 25, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. The Bible tells us that there's three things that Paul preached. First, he reasoned of righteousness. He spoke to Felix about what's right in God's eyes, what's right between Felix and other people, and what's right in all relationships in the eyes of God. You see, righteousness is God's standard for living. And Paul's showing Felix here the worthlessness of his own self-righteousness. Last week, we touched on this man named Tertullus, the orator, the prosecuting attorney. What did he do? Well, he flattered Felix. Oh, Felix, we've enjoyed such great peace during your reign. The very worthy deeds that you did in our nation by your providence, we are so thankful for you, most noble Felix. And he's trying to butter Felix up in order to get his way. And I think that maybe Felix thought, this is what he's going to hear from Paul. Paul, why don't you tell Felix how great he is? Why don't you schmooze him? Well, he can't. Because Paul is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And he speaks to Felix about the righteousness that God requires. And I'm certain that Paul used verses like this. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. How true that is, isn't it? But the Lord pondereth the hearts. And then there's Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Well, how about Isaiah 64, verse 6? But we're all as an unclean thing, and that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know, we think, many people think they're righteous just because they think they are. Yeah, God's standard is far different from that. So the summary of Paul's preaching righteousness to Felix probably sounded like this. Felix, you know, you've done many, many great things, noble and wonderful things in your own sight, but your goodness, it falls short of God's righteousness. And your righteousness, Felix, is as a filthy rag in the sight of God. And you see, Felix, God demands perfection. God demands righteousness. And God has provided the only righteousness that is acceptable to him. And that righteousness is available through Jesus Christ. For 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he that made him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God," where? "In him." Not in me, but in Jesus. And I'm sure Paul, as Paul preached to Felix, he explained to him how Jesus took away our sins so we could have that righteousness of his. Felix, your only hope is for you to have the righteousness of Christ applied to your life. Well, how can we receive the righteousness of Christ? Romans 4:5 tells us, "But to him who does not work," in other words, do works, "but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." It's faith in Jesus. In other words, you and I need to put our faith where God put your sin. And that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, God will see your faith in Jesus and will say, "I count him or her as righteous, not because of them, but because of my son, because of the death of my son on the cross," and they have placed their faith and trust in him. Now, that's the first message that Paul had for Felix. The message was righteousness. He preached righteousness. The second, Paul reasoned of temperance. He talked to Felix about his sin, about temperance, which is self-control over passions and appetites. Felix was out of control. The Bible tells us that Felix's wife was Drusilla. Drusilla was known as a very, very beautiful woman, married at the age of 15. And when Felix met her, he persuaded her to leave her first husband and come to live with him. Felix, by and large, was a man that lived in immorality. And not only that, his reign as governor was marked by payoffs. He bribed his way to power. When he brought Paul before him, the Bible tells us that he brought Paul in hoping that Paul would give him some money. Well, that's Felix's pattern. He expected for Paul to bribe Felix for his release from prison. And so you see this man, Felix, he's sitting on the throne. He's a big shot. Outwardly thinking, "I'm a pretty special guy," but inwardly, as Paul began to speak to him, he was eaten up. Why? Because he was out of control. And the Spirit of God began to speak to him. So yes, Paul spoke to him about temperance, self-control, and I'm sure Paul said something like this: "Felix, in your moral life and in your professional life, you're a sinner. Your heart is full of the sins of the flesh." And it's interesting to note that Paul was bound by chains of iron while Felix is bound in chains of sin. Paul didn't flatter him. He didn't try to make Felix feel good about himself. He told him the truth. He didn't dilute the gospel. He wasn't trying to be politically correct, was he? You see, what we see here is not seeker-friendly evangelism. Seeker-friendly evangelism tries to make people feel at home, thinking they'll somehow make other people want to receive the gospel. And by hearing the soft gospel, people will just feel good. But unless a person is convicted of sin, convicted by God's Holy Spirit, acknowledging their sin, and acknowledging their sin, that it's an offense to God that's worthy of spiritual death, you know what? There would be no conviction. They're thinking, "Well, I'm just enjoying feeling good about myself among other people that are enjoying feeling good about themselves. Why spoil a good thing?" Well, here's why. Conviction is an essential element of salvation and repentance. You see, we must let people know that they're sinners, even if they get uncomfortable. I'd suggest that Jesus wasn't very comfortable while dying on the cross at Calvary for my sin. Our discomfort about sin is nothing compared to what Jesus bore on the cross to pay the price for my sin. He talked to Paul, talked to Felix about righteousness. He talked to him about self-control, and he talked to him about the judgment to come. No longer was Felix the prosecutor. Paul became the prosecutor, didn't he? Felix, you will fall under judgment for your sin. You might be living high and mighty right now, but that's going to end in judgment. Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Every single one of us. And as I shared last week, and we need to take this very seriously, every one of us is going to stand before God one of these days, saved or lost. You're going to stand before God. Romans 14, 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Paul faithfully shared with Felix the judgment to come. But there's a problem. Felix thought that because he wasn't being judged right then, that perhaps somehow I've escaped it, or it wasn't for him. And this verse should wake up every person that's resisting God's call to salvation. For Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says, but in accordance with your hardness in your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, a hard heart, a heart that will not acknowledge sin and repent, stores up God's wrath against sin. It's like a reservoir until the day when it will all be poured out in his righteous judgment. Well, the Bible tells us here that Felix trembled. It must have been quite a message that Paul preached. He's speaking to Felix about righteousness. He's speaking to Felix about self-control or lack of self-control. He's sharing with Felix the judgment to come, and God's Holy Spirit began to hit him hard, fell on him, and what happened is Felix trembled. And then Felix made a horrible mistake. Horrible mistake. He said, Paul, go your way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. What happened here? Well, the word that Paul shared, it convicted Felix. But as he considered what Paul said, there's other factors now that came into play and applied pressure to him. The first is the pressure of the world. Felix had prominence and power, and he held a very prestigious position. And in order for him to be saved, he'd have to humble himself. And the world would say, what have you done, Felix? You had it all. And you know what, Felix? You threw it all away. What is that? It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie from the pit of hell. The world fought against Felix, and it's not unlike what takes place when invitations are given here at the church sometimes. The world stands against humility. The world stands against submission. The world stands for sin in a life without Jesus, and it takes an act of humility to bow our knee before him and to come to him in humility and say, Jesus, I need you. And the world won't tell you that the rewards are great, but rather tell you all you have to give up. You're going to have to give this up and give that up and give this other thing up, but you know what? The only thing you give up is your sin, which is harmful, it's deadly. There's another factor that Felix had to deal with. It was his flesh. He loved his lifestyle of sin. He knew how to get what he wanted with money, and his flesh would say, hey, you can't give that up. And then there's a third factor that Felix had to deal with. It was the enemy. The devil who fights tooth and nail for what he believes belongs to him. And clearly at that time, Felix belonged to the devil. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And whenever a person falls under the conviction of sin, what's the devil do? Does he fold his arms and say, "Oh, it's fine, just the way you are"? No. No, he counterattacks and say things like, "Well, you know what? It's okay to believe in Jesus, but just wait. Just wait a little while. Don't worry. There will come a time when the time is right." And he'll whisper, "There's plenty of time. You don't have to worry. You've got a lot of life left. No need for you to rush into things." Many people would say, "You know what? You're right. I agree with that." But remember what Jesus said when he spoke of the devil, John 8:44, "For he is a liar and the father of it." Who are you going to believe, Jesus or the devil? Believe Jesus. Sadly, Felix listened to the voice of the enemy rather than the voice of truth. "Go your way, Paul. It's not the right time. I've got a brand new cell phone. I'll call you when I'm ready." And you know, I can't tell you, after having conversations with many people about Jesus, they say something similar to that. "You know, I'll think about that. I'll get back to you. And I'll hand them a card with my name and phone number on, email address. They can contact me in many, many ways. But you know what? Most people never call. But you know what? There's an exception in this building right now. Our brother Adam in the sound booth. He held a card in his pocket for 3 years. And finally one day, he said, "I'm going to go." And here he is serving the Lord. Came to Christ, a new believer in Jesus. That's God's work. So all is not lost. We just need to be faithful. However, Felix never called Paul. And I'm convinced that there's many people in just the same boat as Felix. "I'm just going to wait it out until the time is right." Felix, however, he made a couple of assumptions. First, he assumed that he would have a convenient season, in that one day it would be the right time for him to be saved. And some people think, "Yeah, there would be a better time for me to come to Christ." But you know the truth? Tomorrow holds promises that never come. James talked about this in chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. He said, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that." Hebrews 3:15 is very, very clear. While it is said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or in the rebellion." When does God want you to be saved? Now. Today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never get here. In fact, tomorrow never gets here. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And this verse tells us that it would be foolish to count on tomorrow or a more convenient time, because it may never, ever get here. Don't lose today. Today is the day to get right with God. Would you want to lose one more day apart from the joy and the promises that await you? I'm so thankful for every day that I've had in Jesus Christ. And not only that, how many people know the moment they will face death? I suggest no one sitting here or listening can say, "I know." Why? Because no one knows. So don't be deceived into thinking, "I have plenty of time." You may or may not. And when a person thinks they may have plenty of time, that's gambling with eternity, isn't it? Statistics tell us that in the world, 2 people die every second. That's 120 people every single minute. Death knocks on every door. But you know what? Jesus knocks on every heart. Don't say no to Jesus. Because the more that you say no, the easier it becomes to say no. Every time you hear the gospel and you say no, not now, your heart becomes just a little bit harder. And it could be that over time your heart will become so hard that God will give up. The scriptures tell us that. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, I'm not going to go through all the verses, but three times it tells us in that chapter, God gave them up. God gave them over. And God gave them over. But you know what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you today? Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. On the other hand, do you know what the devil's whispering to you? Not now, but later. Will you give your heart to Jesus today, which is the voice of truth? The Holy Spirit says today. The scriptures say today. The voice of reason says today, and don't wait. The voice of reason says now. Felix heard about righteousness, but he chose to hold on to his own. But understand, the only righteousness that we can ever have is the righteousness that Jesus Christ can provide for you. How about temperance or self-control? The only way your life will ever come under control is for you to give your heart to Jesus today. And then he spoke to Felix about judgment. The only way to escape God's judgment and go to heaven is for you to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Don't assume you have tomorrow or have a full life ahead of you. You need to make the decision for Jesus. Today is a day of decision. Today is a day of salvation. I would hazard to say this. Nobody wakes up in the morning and said, I'm going to die, with one exception. I shared this with you before. This 100-year-old woman, she said, call my family, I'm dying today. But she was very, very, very close to Jesus, and she wasn't in the best condition. But by and large, no one wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to die today. No, it happens. It happens. And most are very unexpected. The moment, anyhow. So the urgency is now. The urgency is today. And I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus today, because it's eternally important. It's an eternal decision that you're making. So if you've never come to Jesus, if you've never received him into your heart, then today is the day God wants you to say yes to him, because I know that I know that I know that he's knocking on your heart. How do I know? Because the scriptures tell us this. I'm not making this up. The scriptures tell us. So if you'd like to come to Jesus today, it's a matter of humbling yourself before him and admitting you're a sinner, receiving his forgiveness, and inviting him into your life. So would you pray with me? If you haven't yet come to Jesus, now's the time. Just make sure your heart is right. See, I can't twist anybody's arm into heaven. But God's Holy Spirit is the one that draws with cords of love. And he wants to bring salvation to every single person because he loves every single person. Some think, well, he can't possibly love me. Well, you know what? He loved me even when I was in rebellion against him. He loves every single one of us the same, saved or unsaved, and he desires to draw every person to himself. So pray with me, please, if you would. Father, I come to you today, right now, at this moment, and I bring my heart to you. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge it's an offense to you. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to live apart from you any longer. So I ask you to please, by your grace, forgive me of all of my sin. Forgive me, please. And I realize that my sin was placed upon your Son. Jesus became my sin. And when he died on that cross and poured out his blood, My sin was buried in the grave with him. He rose, my sin stayed there, buried forever, never to be brought up again. How great is your love for me? How great is the power of your shed blood to cleanse me of all of my sin? I thank you for forgiveness, and I thank you for the empty tomb, which gives me the promise of an eternal life with you. I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I invite you into my heart right now. Lead me, guide me, help me, teach me, instruct me, because I want to walk with you. And I ask, Lord, you would give me the power and give me the strength to recognize that my only righteousness is of you. My only means of self-control is of you. And I will never be judged for my sin because of you. I thank you for loving me, and I thank you for saving me. And help me to let go of those things in my life that have held me back, any doubts that I've had, any fears that I've had, any habits that I've had, any lies of the enemy I've been hanging on to, Lord, wash them all away because I belong to you. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen.